This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with us now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find him online. It's RippleConnects.com. That's with an S, RippleConnects.com. Or by phone at 763-438-1621. I got the telephone number right this time. I was missing one digit, and that really makes it difficult to find you when you're only dialing seven digits. But Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
I'm well, and I'm excited to talk to you today because we want to talk to people who are trying to bridge their career, whether they're an older individual or a younger individual just out of college, bridging to their Encore career specifically. And I want to talk about how you can use your LinkedIn account to bridge from where you are to where you want to be.
I think this is a very timely topic for a lot of the boomers that are out there. I think a couple weeks ago, we talked about, 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 each day in the United States. And some of them may want to continue doing what they're doing. Some may want to, a couple weeks ago, we talked about job sharing. But what if, Freddie, you always wanted to do that you never got a chance to do? And that's some ways I see an Encore career rolling up. I've always wanted to, lead a nonprofit. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always wanted to work with seniors or children or whatever. I see that Encore career as a great opportunity to really cap off our wonderful career and always do what we wanted to do. And yes, LinkedIn does give us that opportunity because the world comes to us in one platform that allows us to potentially get the word out on what we want to do next.
Exactly. And I heard you say one time that LinkedIn, your LinkedIn account, is like the city of Rome. What did you mean when you mentioned that, Joe McKenzie?
I say this to almost everybody I talk to that is fairly new to LinkedIn. It is like the city of Rome. It's not built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been building my LinkedIn profile for 10 plus years. I think the first 5 years, I had no idea what I had in front of me. And then I got better at what I did. And I watched what others are doing to be successful and what they're putting out there, others that I respected that I wanted to mimic what they were doing. And I think that is one of the easy ways for people to use LinkedIn to uncover those Encore careers. If you don't know what's at your fingertips, see what others are doing. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
Interesting. So, yes, I've managed my LinkedIn profile by looking at others who are in my industry. And I will say I'm using air quotes, borrowing some of the language that were used in people that I respect in their profiles. And somehow, some way, Joe McKenzie, they found their way into my profile. Is that fair to do, or is that something you would suggest to someone who is sitting in front of you?
I think you see what you take bits and pieces of people's profiles that you like and make it your own. So if you say there's a YouTube video out there of what you like or an article that you've written that's similar to what others have featured, why couldn't you make that a part of your LinkedIn profile? Wouldn't you want people that know you to say, oh, Joe, I never realized that you were such a good public speaker or a teacher or someone that could get up in front of a big group or talk to children, talk to seniors. Can you see the benefit of putting that out there? Particularly if we're trying to carve out an Encore career, we don't want to make our accomplishments and expertise a secret. We want to roll that up. LinkedIn gives us that opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see what others are doing, that also gives you the confidence for you to do it.
Everybody, we're talking to Joe McKenzie. He is our career expert on New Beginnings. And we're talking about using your LinkedIn profile to bridge to your Encore career. So LinkedIn, really, when you talk about the information that's on your profile, that's actually a bit more and it can be a bit more than a simple resume, correct?
Yeah, I see it as layers, and I see it as something you can change on the fly. You can tweak, you can experiment, you can really make your LinkedIn profile come to life. And what I mean by that is, like I said, the different multimedia facets of LinkedIn, you know, really trump a resume, which is, you know, sometimes a historical document where you've been. Well, what if you want to go somewhere else and you want to highlight some of the areas that you want to, maybe it's some of your volunteer work. Maybe you've served on boards. Maybe it's, you know, some of your creativity that you want to bring out. LinkedIn is going to allow you to do that. And there's another aspect to this when we start thinking about, well, you've always done this, Joe. And I, you know, I grew up one of eight kids. So, you know, one of the younger ones, they said, well, radio, Joe, give me a break. You can't, you know, or nonprofit, you can't. Well, many of them don't know what I've been doing for the last 30 years. You know, we've all get busy in our lives. LinkedIn has allowed me to feature some of the skills that has allowed others to say, hey, Joe, I think you'd make a great leader of a nonprofit.
Interesting.
Because of LinkedIn, because of the work, some of the volunteer work. And also it gives you the ability, Freddie, to ask for recommendations from some of the people that have worked with you directly, either in volunteer or in the workforce.
That's interesting.
Ask for those recommendations from people that can speak directly to your work and your soft skills and your leadership and your expertise and your communication and creativity. Freddie, that is a great way to carve out an encore career when someone else is talking about what you can do, right? Do you agree with that?
I do. So you're saying, from as I understand it, that you're getting out in front of the employer or potential employer saying, I'd like some references, people who can vouch for you. You've got that already on your LinkedIn profile.
Yes, yes. Anybody that's inquiring or even just kind of doing a soft search of you, hey, take a look at my LinkedIn profile. See what others have to say. Mm-hmm. Take a look at some of my volunteer work. The transferable skills that come from that. That's how Encore careers, the path to Encore careers start out, because of LinkedIn, because of recommendations, because of some of the work that you can highlight that may not necessarily be what you want to do. You've been doing the last 40 years, but what you want to do for the next 10 years.
So Joe McKenzie, everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about using your LinkedIn profile to bridge to your Encore career or maybe your next career. So in having these recommendations, is there a strategy to get others to say wonderful things about you on your LinkedIn career, on your LinkedIn profile, I should say?
I think the most impactful recommendations are the ones that can speak directly to what you've done. I think less is more. I would, if they can write something that they can cite an accomplishment or quantify it, or a situation where your leadership or creativity, you know, won the day, I think that allows that recommendation to really paint yourself as a, you know, a whole person that can handle a lot of different situations. So I think less is more. And those advocates that we've talked about in your professional network, if you do ask them and tell them what you're trying to accomplish with an Encore career, maybe give them an idea where you want to go. Hey, could you write a recommendation on that newsletter or some of my writing skills or my speaking skills, my coaching skills, or some of my leadership skills? Could you, you know, roughly make it around this? Because that's where I'm trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe give them a soft cue.
Wow. So to recap, we were talking about using your LinkedIn bridge or LinkedIn to bridge to your next career. So you talked about that your LinkedIn profile wasn't built in today, so it's always under construction, correct?
That is correct. Every week I take a look at it and say, what can I do better? And I look at others, and sometimes I tweak. Sometimes I make things, shuffle things around. Yes, I think LinkedIn is to be worked. It's a tool.
And also you talked about that it being an online visual portfolio, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's for the world to see, because LinkedIn is going to allow people to see your general profile. You may not have them in your network, but everybody's going to be able to see at least a general idea of some of the things, what you've done. But for those in your network, that's going to allow them to see what you're capable of doing. And that visual, you used to call it, build a portfolio of, visual portfolio to win the interview. Well, you can get out ahead of this early with the multimedia approach to LinkedIn, that you can build a visual portfolio right there for the world to see. And to be that proof by example that supports where you want to go.
And also getting those recommendations and put that compelling recommendation Absolutely. Right there on your LinkedIn profile. Joe McKenzie.
All in one place, Freddie. And I think this is, it's significant enough where I think people that have, worked somewhere 30, 40 years that are looking at Encore careers, I think this is a great tool for them to recalibrate or reinvent themselves. And there it all is for others to see, to others to advocate, and really, put out the accomplishments that you've had to the world, and let them come to that conclusion that, hey, this person's done a lot of things. We need this person. We need this person in this capacity and in their Encore career.
Well said, Joe McKenzie. We have to leave it right there. And today's interview is a testament to the fact that New Beginnings does bring forward a lot of great information, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with us right now are two fantastic folks in our community, Sherilyn LaChapelle, a registered nurse, and her list of accolades are really long, as well as Yolanda Adams Lee, who's working specifically in the area of diabetes. And when we last were together, we're talking about steps that our audience can take to keep healthy. And one of the things you talked about was making sure that you're sharing with your doctor the things that ail you, the things that are giving you concerns, especially when we put it under the light of COVID-19. So you began talking about making sure that your practitioner understands what's going on. But what can I do once I leave that doctor's office in order to take care of my health, ladies?
You are in charge of you. When you're in the doctor's office, and you've told them and you've worked out a plan that you feel that you can follow that'll help control your disease, it's important to stick with that. But if you're taking a medication that is not working for you, then again, you should contact the doctor. Don't just stop taking it, but contact the doctor so they can change it to something else. Being in charge of your health is more than just showing up. It's doing active things. You can take walks. Even during COVID, you can walk outside, social distancing. You can, in your house, you can kind of do a few exercises, chair yoga. They've got all this stuff on YouTube that will show you how to do various exercises. You can walk in place or march in place. But it's important to keep moving, because once you get COVID, and if you happen to end up in the hospital, some people have lost limbs. They've had feet, legs cut off, because COVID can cause blood clotting anywhere in the body, including strokes and heart attacks from that blood clotting. So it's so important. If you've got asthma, it destroys the lungs. And for those of you who are smoking, this is an excellent time to stop smoking, because you don't need to have your lungs weakened, because we already know COVID attacks the lungs oftentimes first, primarily, and you end up on a vent with lungs that are already damaged before COVID gets to them. You're not likely to survive.
What do you say to those people, Yolanda, who say, well, look, you know, I understand that COVID could be a death sentence for me anyway, so why should I even go if I've got a cough, if I'm not feeling well? You're going to tell me to quarantine for anywhere from 7 to 14 days. How do you answer people who face COVID that way?
That's a wonderful question, Freddie. Given my many years working in mental health as well as addictions, these are also symptoms and place our community at high risk when we have folks who are struggling emotionally and are not managing their stress well. One of the things that Sherlyn talked about was, how do you manage your stress? We as a community have historically handled our stress in ways around food and around alcohol, drugs, and other perhaps unhealthy ways of handling stress. So one of the things that we want, many of the things that we want to point out, but we want to note that our mental health and managing our stress is very important. Not getting pulled in by fear. So how do we manage the fear? How do we manage the isolation? We reach out. We have a buddy. We find someone who's going to hold us accountable. Some of the same coping strategies that we learn when we're dealing with mental health, as well as when we're in treatment. One, have someone that you can trust, someone that you can be transparent with, someone that will hold you accountable around managing your thought life, around managing how you handle those stressors and taste and those appetites that we've had previously. Because here's the deal. When you have these comorbid or dual concerns around your health, they can be compounded. And so we want to find a accountability partner. We want to find somewhere and someone that will help us to be able to manage during that isolated time.
Everyone, we're talking with two great people, Sherlyn LaChapelle and also Yolanda Adams-Lee. We're talking about your health and managing your health during COVID-19. We're just about out of time, but I understand that it's important, really important. We just saw just days ago where the president-elect got his second COVID shot. The same thing with the vice president-elect. What would be a final thought that each of you would say about getting the vaccine when it becomes available in this area?
Well, I got mine a little over a week ago, and I feel great. And I'm waiting 3 more weeks so I can get my second dose, because it's the Moderna. And for those of you who are fearful of it and don't trust, how about getting polio? You did get the vaccination as a child to prevent polio. I want to take you back. Google it for those of you who are young. How many people died and were paralyzed permanently from polio? And now it's almost like it never existed. Many of you don't even know what polio is. And that can be the same thing if we are immunized, if there are vaccines that can eradicate or decrease chances of getting a disease, I say take them. That's the smart choice, to prevent disease versus trying to survive it and live through it and all the side effects that come with COVID. Many people don't ever get back to 100%.
Yolanda Adams-Lee, what would you say?
I would say trust your healthcare provider. Have those conversations, as Sherilyn talked about the pros and the cons of immunization. So when we're talking about a vaccine, as Sherilyn noted, immunizations have been within our country for years. And so there are pros and cons both ways. But what is going to offer you the better quality of life for you, your children, and your family? And trust that provider to give you the honest information.
All right. Do you have a final thought this morning, Sherilyn?
Yes. My final thought is, everyone, please stay safe. It's important to wear your mask, social distance, and just don't hang out. Don't go to the parties. Don't go hang out with others. I know it's tempting. I'm lonely for my family. And my sister who lives in Chicago, who's also a nurse practitioner, she said, family, I love you, but no visitors. We're going to stay at home. And we're going to wait till this thing is over, and then we're going to get together again. And we did New Year's Zoom parties. We played Jeopardy on Zoom. We had a great time. So that's one thing you can do to stay connected.
Final thought, Yolanda Adams-Lee.
Community and family, we love you. We want you to go the distance. So let's be smarter and not doubters.
All right. How can we get more information about staying safe and understanding what to do if you're at risk?
The Minnesota Department of Health's website has a lot of information. In fact, we're on because Yolanda and I are both on the Healthy People 2030 work group that comes out every 10 years on how to stay healthy. So there will be information on COVID and information on other diseases and how to stay healthy. So just check that out.
We will do that. I can't thank you enough, Sherilyn LaChapelle, registered nurse practitioner, as well as Yolanda Adams-Lee, both working together. Nursing is certainly the answer, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us right now, we're really fortunate to have Lynn Bata, who is a public health nurse at the Minnesota Department of Health. She's a vaccine expert, and she's working to get information to you about COVID-19 vaccines that are now available to many different Minnesota communities. And she's trying to help us to make the best decisions possible about getting vaccinated. First of all, good morning and welcome to New Beginnings.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
It's our pleasure. I'm wondering, with this new information that has recently come out earlier this week, who can get vaccinated right now?
Right now, we will be starting to vaccinate persons 65 and older, and also people who work in education and in childcare. Until those clinics start, though, we're still vaccinating healthcare workers, and we're also vaccinating residents in long-term care facilities. So that will continue, and as we start up this newer group, we'll finish up the first group.
How was this decision made to include this group that had really been left out, the 65 and older group, and then pre-kindergarten through 12 years old and educators? How did that decision come about?
Well, I know that some of the issues that were considered are who gets exposed the most to the coronavirus and who suffers the most if they get infected. And so those have been kind of driving factors regarding who's next on the list. So we know that nurses and the aides that work with the nurses and the people that clean the hospital rooms are all getting exposed to that virus on a daily basis. And so that's why they got first to be offered the vaccine.
So those people not identified in this immediate phase, it seems as if it's those people who are grade 12 through age 64. Can you tell us why that group of people were left out?
Well, they're left out of this next step, mostly because there's just not a whole lot of vaccine. We do see people in this age group, especially our African-American community, our Latinx community, our Indigenous peoples community, have severe disease and are within that age group. We just have so few doses to give that it's been a very, very difficult decision. We know that people who are over 65 have much, much higher chance of dying from COVID. And so that really has been the driving decision. Everyone is going to get a chance to be offered the vaccine. It's just going to be slower. The wait has to continue. And I know that's very difficult for a lot of us who have been sitting in our houses, not having much social life this past year.
Everybody, we're talking with Lynn Bata, who is a public health nurse at the Minnesota Department of Health, a vaccine expert. And I'm wondering, how many sites are there right now, pilot sites for the signups? And what are you looking to learn from the pilot locations?
We are setting up these models to see if they are the most efficient way once we start getting more doses of vaccine to get the doses out quickly. We want to make it as convenient as possible. So if it does work, we'll add more sites as we get more doses. There are 9 sites. They're spread out throughout the state. We've got a couple in the metro area. And people will be able to access the few doses that will be available either by making a reservation to get vaccinated online, or there is a number that they can call and make a reservation if they don't have internet.
Interesting. So you got the 9 sites, and I'm just curious, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that the vaccine is in short supply. That's why we're getting the people who are most vulnerable right now. But what happens if there's not enough for the second dose? Are you confident that the second dose will be available by the time it's the right time for that second dose to take place?
At this point, I don't think we can guarantee that. We are hopeful because, again, the doses are very few. There's been about 12,000 doses that are going to be designated for these pilot or these model sites to use initially, and we would hope to have an additional 12,000 doses that we can give when the next dose is due. I think we expected to have more vaccine on reserve, and we learned from the Health and Human Services Secretary Azar that that wasn't the case. And so we are also scrambling as a health department to figure out how to adjust to this information and make the best of it and make sure that people get their both their doses. I think the more important thing is if the dose, the second dose is delayed, you don't have to start the series over. You can just get that second dose when it comes.
Well, everybody, Lynn Bata, who is a vaccination or a vaccine expert, talking with us today about the new pilot program that's getting vaccine into the arms of Minnesotans. So can you tell us right now how long this pilot program will last? I know it started earlier this week, but how long do you anticipate that it will last with the 12,000 doses that you mentioned having?
What I know is that they are going to do 3 days of vaccination this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If there are additional doses to allocate next week, they will open it up for another period of time. They may continue this as long as we just don't have a lot of doses to give out. And then once doses, the number of doses that we get increases, we can start doing the same model of these programs as we're doing right now.
Very interesting. So if we'd like to, I know this, we're approaching the last few hours of this being available to in this pilot program. What is the website? How can you schedule an appointment? I understand you just can't walk up to these sites.
Correct. It's not unlike testing where you can walk in and get tested. Because of the limited doses, there's just not the capacity to take in walk-ins. And so it will be important to set up that appointment. The website is www.mn.gov. And then you put a slash and then type in vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go there. The number,
I think I may be able to help you, 612-426-7230 or 833-431-2053. But I understand you prefer that people go to the website first if you can.
If you can, it will be more efficient for you.
All right. Everyone, we're talking with Lynn Bata, who is a vaccine expert. Do you have a final thought for people listening in the metro area and even around the state?
I think the most important thing that people need to know is that we will eventually have enough vaccine for everyone. That it's important to be as patient as you can, be persistent. If getting vaccinated is really important, keep checking in to see if there are additional appointments available. More doses are on their way. They're coming in each week. And so we will eventually get all of us vaccinated who want to be and hopefully see the end of this horrendous pandemic.
All right. Lynn Bata, I can't thank you enough for being with us, public health nurse at the Minnesota Department of Health, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
We're talking to Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University of Minnesota. There is a recent report. The CEO of Moderna says that the coronavirus is with us for good, saying that now is saying COVID-19 is going to be with us forever, and that medical workers will have to be aware of new strands of so researchers can act on creating a vaccine to treat it. Is there some truth to this, Dr. Osterholm?
There absolutely is. Unfortunately, this is not going to be something we're going to get over with overnight. And we're already looking at the possibility that some of these viruses that cause COVID-19 are continuing to mutate. We're concerned about some of them actually being able to transmit at a much higher level than the previous strains that we saw. The second thing is we're also looking at, how vaccination works against each of these strains. So it'd be like influenza, where, as you know, every year we have new vaccines for influenza where we update them to accommodate the changes that occurred in the virus in the previous year. And that may be a model that we'll eventually have to get to. We don't know that yet. We want to be very careful not to tell people that don't get a vaccine, do get these vaccines. These right now are yet highly effective against the strains that we see here in the United States and in much of the world. So I'd tell you, get the vaccine. But we're going to be constantly on guard with this. This is not going to be something that's going to be a one-and-done kind of thing by midsummer.
For sure. And just a couple more questions. I know you have to go. So with the number of people that are dying and it's escalating every day, how viable is hand washing, Dr. Osterholm, mask wearing and physically distancing? Is it working? Is it doing anything at all?
It's not whether we do it or not. It's how well we do it. You know, we have a lot of people that unfortunately take exception sometimes, where most of the time they're distant from people, but then they still go to a party or they still go to a neighborhood gathering, or they're still in a crowd for extended periods of time. And in those settings, that's where transmission's occurring. And so what we are telling you is it's kind of like only fixing four of the five screen doors in your submarine. Still sink if you don't get that fifth one fixed too. And so what we're really saying is you just have to be conscientious about making sure that you're not swapping air with someone who might be infected. And remember, a number of people will transmit the virus who have no signs or symptoms. They won't appear to be ill. They may become ill in a day or two, or they, in some cases, may not become ill at all. But so that's why it's so important to continue to do that physical distancing. We don't want to ever call it social distancing. We hopefully are never a social distant, okay? But physically distant, yes. And to continue to wear your mask, wash your hands, and that those are all important messages.
Amazing. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University
Thank
of
you.
Minnesota. We appreciate you so much. Have a good day.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Have you ever felt stuck trying to break a habit or change a way of thinking? Positive Habits is our Point of Focus. When you have great habits, you can break any thought or behavior pattern that holds you back. When you willingly release the patterns that cause you to feel stuck, great things start to happen in your life. You can break free of that limiting behavior, and then you're open to consider what's really true about you. In place of the bad behavior, infuse yourself with power, strength, and vitality. You're actually free to be all that you can be. Right now, all you have to do is choose positive habits and attitudes that support your well-being and the talents that you bring to the world. Good habits are a point of focus. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a national observance of the 92nd birthday of this leader of moral imagination and social justice. Almost 50 years ago, he spoke to an audience of nearly a quarter of a million people who had gathered in Washington, D.C. for a march for jobs and freedom. His speech, "I Have a Dream," has been read and studied by millions since then. On that August day in 1963, he began a prepared speech. Someone had actually suggested, with the large crowds, that he not overexcite them with his words. And so he began with a scholarly speech. But it didn't seem to be attracting everyone's attention. It was a speech that addressed the problems and sufferings of America, historically and in that present day. Dr. King's favorite gospel singer, Mahalia Jackson, was nearby, and she shouted out, "Talk about the dream! Talk about the dream!" He shifted into prophetic gear, boldly crying out, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Traditionally, our Unity churches have avoided political sermons, but at times of political conflict, I am reminded of Charles Fillmore's words to the Unity audiences of his day. He said, "We strive to find the spiritual behind all things." So as we consider the political challenges in Dr. King's time, and he found inspiration in our founder's constitution and President Lincoln's leadership during the Civil War, and now we have grave concerns for our democracy in our very day. We may ask ourselves, is the dream still alive? Do we still cherish it, protect it, and work for its greater, truer expression in the lives of all Americans? As Dr. King described his dream, he proclaimed it to be our hope, everyone's hope. I quote him, "This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Recently, John Paul Lederach, a professor emeritus of Notre Dame University, made this note. The images of this past week and what happened at our Capitol remain seared in our minds. While painful, they will not and should not be unseen, precisely because they help us to look more carefully at what peers back at us from our national mirror. We're not looking at a fringe view. We are gazing upon ourselves. I have noticed that across a wide and deeply divided political spectrum, most everyone seeks to speak for and protect the Constitution, almost as if our shared document is the victim. I would offer that the deeper casualty lies with the loss of our basic social contract. We note its disappearance when toxic social dynamics spill into the mainstream of our collective life. Dehumanization replaces basic respect. Blame supplants responsibility. And violence is justified over dialogue. We also know from settings of armed conflict and from our own exemplars in this country who never stopped building the more perfect union that it is possible to reverse the present dynamics. Let us ask ourselves from a spiritual perspective, what is this perennial dream that continues to nudge our conscience? Perhaps it is most concisely expressed by Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. Or in Dr. King's most simple statement, we cannot walk alone. Or the often heard motto during this pandemic, we're in this together. This perennial dream will return time and time again, and season after season, until its impulse guides all that we do and all that we are together. Many prophets and moral witnesses will declare it using differing words and images, but it is the same divine dream. And one day, when we all dream it, spiritual potential will finally become spirit manifest. With all the grief, pain, and challenges of our day, we need to remember the dream over and over again. Each soul needs to call out Dr. King's words. I have a dream. I have a dream. It is the reason we keep trying to bring forth a better world. The so-called world that works for all. A dream, not for a few, but for all of God's creation. Let's bring it home. Here to unity. And especially to Unity South, our spiritual community. What is our dream? What do we come back to time and time again, season after season? Well, and to be honest, minister after minister after minister.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.